Class war.
Now, Jim, show this gentleman how you can dance and sing.
That's my attitude towards the Western powers. If you want to say there's no rules, fine. Don't go crying for your mummy when that comes.
America today finds herself in a unique situation. She's the only country in history in a position to become involved in a bloodless revolution.
If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men.
When the system doesn't work for the majority of the people, you gotta change the system.
Hello, my friends. This is Vimer Deese, and welcome to Class War Battlefield Podcast. I think today I would like to talk to you about Obama as the assassination president. I've actually tried recording this podcast maybe 10 times since the beginning of the year, and it's never come out in a way that I felt happy about. Today is my 11th, and hopefully this one does come out that way. Everybody is up in arms over, I don't even remember what the bill's called, I hate to say it, but it's a bill that basically gives the president the ability to assassinate anybody who he wants. It gives the president the ability to call out the military in the event of any civil unrest. And it gives the president, this government, the ability to lock up people without due process. People are surprised. I'm not. The president of the United States, maybe not directly, but indirectly, by allowing such figures like J. Edgar Hoover to run roughshod, over national or domestic issues, have been killing Americans probably since the beginning of this country, but we definitely know the 60s and the 70s, the president was killing people. We know this. Well, we know the government was, should I say. Most civilians in this nation pretty much know that Malcolm X was killed by the government. Most civilians believe, and know, I think, that Martin King was killed by the government. Just about all people know that the Black Panthers were eviscerated by the government. If you've read the COINTEL papers, you know that there were individuals within the American Indian movement who were targeted for assassination in jail. There were individuals in the radical left movements of those periods who were targeted and assassinated. What is sad is conservatives, well-meaning conservatives, believe the exact opposite. They believe, and this has been talked about on television, that it's conservatives who have the most to fear. I suppose it's true. In a revolution, you're right, conservatives are indeed the ones who tend to get pushed aside, and sometimes, in violent revolutions, murdered. because they're the ones who represent the status quo. However, our history actually details something different. In the history of this United States, it has been liberals and progressives who have bore the heaviest brunt of the abuse and the casualties. We can go all the way back to the labor struggles if we wanted to see this. But the 60s, it's undoubtedly the fact there. I mean, conservatives can't argue that the people who are being killed were conservatives. We have in this nation locked up many a political activists. We've done it. And we've continued to do it. And yet, people don't pay attention to that. People laugh about it. When I've made mention to most of my white individual friends, my white friends about Mumia being a political prisoner, in a response, if they know who he is, it says, didn't he kill a cop? I said, somebody killed a cop. Don't know if it was him. They have a hair. They won't test it. Geronimo Pratt finally got out, you know, back in the 90s. You almost have to wonder if he had to agree to not, you know, do any activist work to get out. I mean, I haven't heard the brother's name attached to any major activism. H-Rap Brown, which I didn't even know that brother was still alive, is under 23 hours a day of isolation. My God. Why is he in prison? Political prisoner. What has been done to people in an undercover manner is now coming home to roost. It's now coming home to roost. You cannot execute a war internally against one small group of people without having that war impact others. I was just listening to, and you know, I never thought I'd be able to say this, but I was just listening to an Alex Jones podcast. And why I say I never thought I'd be able to say this is because I've always thought Alex Jones was kind of fruity, crazy. I don't believe everything that the man says, but he makes some interesting points every now and then. Well, he had one of my favorite authors on his show, and that's Chris Hedges. You know, you've heard me speak of Chris Hedges before. And Chris Hedges made a startling point that I would have never considered. In looking at this new Obama assassination law, this new presidential and government assassination law, he said, you know, it always creeps outward. You never want to give this kind of power to the state because it always creeps outward. And then as a example, he said, look at the drug laws. First it started as we would drug test prisoners. And then it expanded to we're going to drug test employees. And now it's you almost need a drug test for everything. He's right. He's right. They even pointed out the fact that the law that I've been talking about, there's language in it, of course, that allows Obama or any other president to assassinate pretty much anyone they want. You know, there was, I think Dianne Feinstein or something, wanted to add language that would exempt U.S. citizens from that provision. They said no. The White House said no. In other words, what has been happening in an undercover manner is now being done out in the open. It's now being done out in the open. The Kabuki Theater that was executed when this piece of legislation went to the floor to be voted on, you had the FBI, the CIA, the military come up and say, we do not support this. And I have to believe that some people in those agencies, maybe even the directors themselves, really don't support this. But I guarantee you, there are people away from those official levers of power that support this. That is why it was allowed to pass. You want to see what they're planning for? Look at how they're planning for it. And I mean it. I often say to my brother, when I prepare to, I don't know, talk about something, I imagine the worst case scenario, and that's what I prepare for. So anything else lessens it. Then I can deal with anything. If I know I'm prepared for that worst case scenario, I can go through and do anything. These individuals have utilized power like this before. Martin Luther King was assassinated by the military. It's hard to say who specifically assassinated Malcolm X. The general knowledge is that it was the Nation of Islam. I have some questions about that. We know that the FBI and the DIA targeted activists, left activist groups. But here's what most people forget. During the labor uprisings and riots in the 1800s, if the police departments could not be counted on to get control of striking workers, they would call in the military to break up the strikes. And people died. And people died because of it. As I said before, you want to see what they're preparing for? See how they're preparing for it. These individuals aren't stupid. The 1%, they're not stupid. They know what kind of economy we're heading into. They know what kind of economy they want for this nation. And the kind of economy that they want, and Lord help me, I'm going to actually say something that Alex Jones said. They want the type of economy where your family is broken. Where you are helpless and destitute and you're basically living on rations. That's what they want. Of course there's going to be a middle class. You always need a middle class. Why? Because you always need police officers. You always need individuals to man the, I would say levers of power, but it's not just the levers of power. You want people out there that can spread good propaganda. And if there's not any sort of a middle class, you're not going to have people who are willing to spread that message. This is one thing that the Soviets failed to recognize. The Soviets had two classes. They had the upper and the lower. They didn't have anyone in a position that was believable enough by the lower class to be able to spread the propaganda of hope. And that's what we have here. The dwindling middle class, you know, so many people are angry because they're no longer in the middle class, but there was never meant to be a huge middle class in this nation. There was meant to be a small middle class in this nation and a huge lower class. The dwindling middle class is the power check for the upper, for the upper crust of our nation, as it would be called. They hold the lower class in place because the lower class can always dream of being where they're at. The problem is, this is the problem that the 1% is having. Can they transition between a time when there was a huge, huge middle class and a time when there's only going to be a small middle class? Can they transition that? I don't think they can, because expectations are too high. Hence the reason why you need this Military Authorization Act. They're not stupid. Leaders will arise. I wrote on my Facebook page, and this is going to give me away if any of you know know this Facebook page, but I wrote on my Facebook page that revolutionaries aren't born. They're created by the circumstances in which they're born into. I could have easily said that they're created by the circumstances which they're given to, because sometimes they're born into one circumstance and then they fall into another, and that radicalizes them. That radicalizes them. The 1% knows leaders are going to rise that are going to challenge and put forth a new way of living. It's going to challenge the way that they've been doing things. They want to have the power to crush these people. They want to have the power to crush these movements. Because they know we're about to enter, and we've already entered it with Occupy. We're entering revolutionary times. It'll either be they get overthrown or we get ground into the ground. When is somebody going to stand up and declare, like Frederick Douglass declared, that I owe no allegiance to a nation that treats me like this? When is someone going to do it? I feel a little sad because I ask when people are going to do these things, and yet I haven't done them. I think a time's coming when I will. I think the time's coming when a lot of us are going to have to. We're going to have to change the way we live. You know, Tupac is my favorite rapper of all time. And in probably the biggest song that he had, you know, since his death, Changes, there's this part that gives you a glimpse of the intellectualism that was stirring underneath his eyes and the weed and the Hennessy. It gives a glimpse to other people as to why he had to be murdered. But in that song he says, it's up to us to start making a difference. We have to change the way we eat, change the way we live, and change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. That's how he starts the next verse. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are at. We will either change for the future, or the future is going to crush us. Barack Obama and his predecessors have the legal ability now to target you and your family, or me and mine, just by calling us terrorists. They can kill us. They can take us away to some dark cell, kidnap us, and never tell our families what happened to us. We're living in evil times, ladies and gentlemen. We're living in evil times. What does that mean? I like what M. Scott Peck said. Evil has to do with anti-life actions. And these people are now making anti-life choices. I'm not talking about abortion, people. Abortion is nothing compared to this. Anti-life is anti-living. And living is a verb. It's sequential. It is things followed by things. We're living in evil times. This doesn't mean God's coming to save us. Now, I think the fact that we're all here is God's, his message to us. It's, we can save ourselves. This is, to me, the definition of spiritual warfare. They are trying to crush our humanity by placing an iron glove over the embers of our society, those things that make us socially kindred. They're breaking trust. They're breaking community. They're breaking family. They're breaking compassion and empathy. They're breaking humanity. They're breaking the things that make us feel human. That is anti-life. They've made love into a commodity. It's utilitarian. Look up a sermon by Martin Luther King called The Levels of Love. They've made love into a commodity. It's utilitarian. Activation is something we all need to seek. Because this is a spiritual war. It is a spiritual war. And the more and more that I look at what's happening in our society, the more I realize that the murder of Martin Luther King, the murder of Malcolm X, the murder of so many of those Black Panthers, the incarceration, and I mean just dungeoning of those individuals, the knocking of heads and the murder of the protesters, this massive propagandizing effort that has been taking place since the 50s to quell the human progressive spirit. The more I look at it, the more I see these people are anti-enlightenment. They're counter-enlightenment. They don't want us enlightened. This is why our education system has been allowed to go the way that it has been, because you do not want rational, analytical people in your democracy. Those are hard to control people. Those are massively hard to control people because they think for themselves. I had a friend who asked me, what happened? What happened to all those Black leaders from the 60s? I mean, look at today. Look at the Black community. Look at the state that it's in. They asked the wrong question. They should have asked, what made it possible for those Black leaders to rise? Those Black leaders rose prior to Black people being integrated into the white system, the white public school system. Why is it since we've been integrated into the white public school system, has not more Black leaders arisen? Because the white public school system, my God, I never thought I'd be quoting Louis Farrakhan, but I heard this on a audio collage. The white public school system is about mind control. It's about dumbing people down. It's about keeping, building, and holding a class system. The reason why black people are in worse shape today is because we are taught to be in worst shape today. The systems that we inhale each day, not all of them, but the ones that feed us intellectually, and I'm talking about on all levels, they're meant to kill our spiritual drive. They are counter-enlightenment. I'm reminded of a very, very, little-known RFK speech that I just heard at the beginning of April, where he made a statement about the slow death, I think he said, of institutions, or the slow violence of institutions might have been his words. And I just think how right he was in describing how institutions can create an atmosphere of slow violence and of suffocating people and of killing people. It was as if Robert Kennedy finally discovered what was going on with the system that he was a part of for a while, and he wanted to end it. And he had to go. It's like JFK, I'm pretty confident that's why he had to go, because he started seeing the reality of the system, and he started saying, wait a minute, no. And as soon as he said no, those bullets flew. These people are counter-enlightenment. Obama is counter-enlightenment. Does this mean that we go out there and kill them? Absolutely not. That's what they love. They know how to deal with violence. This is why they had to kill King. This is why they had to kill RFK. This is why they had to kill JFK. This is why they even had to kill Malcolm X, because Malcolm X was growing. People forget this, but he was growing. And I think if Malcolm X had lived two more years, he would have been talking nonviolence, just like, well, he was talking nonviolent. He was just talking about self-defense. But I think he would have become a lot more rational with his self-defense concept. But that's why these people had to go, because it's a spiritual war to them. They kill them so they cannot foster growth. This is why, and I don't even know if the Pentagon understood this, but this is why the Pentagon went overseas and started assassinating leader after leader after leader, because they had to stop this enlightenment that was happening all over the world. This is a spiritual war. This isn't about abortion. It's not wedge issues. People, my God, people, wake up. Wake up. It is greater issues. Abortion comes into focus when you start raising your consciousness. And by the way, for those of you who know about the Bible prediction about the 666, I want to give you something to feast on. RFK was murdered on June 6th, 1968. Now, I like numerology. In numerology, what you would do is you would take the year and you would add it together. So, 1 plus 9 is 10, 6 plus 8 is 14, that's 24, 4 plus 2 is 6. RFK was killed on the numeric representation of 6. 6. 6. What does it mean? I don't know. But when I finally came to understand that this was a spiritual war, that what Martin Luther King and SCLC had scribed on their wall, their purpose was to save the soul of America, was true. When I finally came to that realization, and then I looked at that number, I shivered. Ladies and gentlemen, the mark of the beast may indeed be 666. I don't care. I don't care. Right now, we need to activate ourselves and prepare, because we can stop the worst things from happening. We've always been able to. It's about willpower. This is why these individuals like to capture the hearts and minds of people. Because when you capture the heart and mind, you capture the will. You capture the will. And capturing willpower is powerful. Get activated. Get conscious. Be prepared. You don't defeat darkness, you don't defeat evil by being tacitly acceptant or accepting of it. You defeat it with light and truth. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact me or send me a comment, and I invite your comments, ladies and gentlemen, especially your audio ones, please do so at Class War Battlefield Podcast at live.com. My name is Brian Meridis. Stay strong in the struggle. Get enlightened. Stay enlightened. Peace, my siblings. When you know that you've seen it before, where a government lies to a people, and a country is drifting to war. And there's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again. How the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who find they can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone, and they're alone.